Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Noah Rothman from Commentary is a frequent cable newscast. Great book out. Regnery Publishers. Unjust. Social Justice and the Unmaking of America. Social Justice Warriors. We've talked about a lot. Noah joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Noah, welcome to Philadelphia.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, Noah. Yes, thank you. I didn't see anything in your book on this because we didn't know about Howard Schultz, but I think this is more than Democrats just worried about percentages here and there. This guy's firing away and saying, I'm the American dream. The people on the other side, it comes right out of the chapters in your book about victimhood on steroids. That's what he's pushing back against on that side.
Yeah, in a way, I hadn't actually thought about it that way, because his argument against Democrats is much more economic, which doesn't really have a lot to do with the theories in my book about social justice.
Mm-hmm.
But his position is pretty valuable to the national conversation, I think. He's essentially saying that Democrats have become hostile towards the kind of economic liberalism that was a consensus opinion in the American body politic for so long that it went relatively unchallenged. And there is a broad constituency within the Democratic Party that is entirely unserved by a candidate who says, I'm generally socially liberal on all these other positions, but I also believe in market liberalism and reduced economic interference by the federal government and fiscal frugality to the extent that, you know, Kamala Harris introduced, essentially, she's been advocating for Medicare for All for years, and first contact with a hostile universe of voters who suddenly discovered a central pillar of Bernie Sanders' proposal, which she co-sponsored, essentially nationalizes the health insurance industry and eliminates private mm-hmm. health insurance. And the Democrats all of a sudden came out and said, whoa, I'm not for that. That's crazy. As though everybody wasn't aware of this who had read the fine print on the bill or any of the efforts to score it by independent institutes like Mercatus or the Urban Institute. So this is a very disingenuous response, and it's sort of heartening to see that first contact with a skeptical universe of voters to all these progressive opinions that they've all convinced themselves are popular actually doesn't really survive when we start to become a little more skeptical about what it actually entails.
One of the great insights in your book, amend several, I like this one the best, though, and I'll see if I can encapsulate it. When you talk about social justice warriors, is they're not consumed pretty much, or the way it plays out exactly, maybe they're consumed with the bigger things and retribution, but it plays out in these daily battles over tiny things, over the tiniest of tiny arguments of one thing or another that blow up. Now, sometimes they put the grandiose on it, but it's a very small thing that's happening.
Yeah, there's a, and I devote a chapter to that. The premise of the book is that social justice is identity politics in practice. It is mm-hmm. an alternative theory of social organization, a governing ethos. And it's a dangerous one. And there's some very serious elements to it that deserve to be tackled, and I tackle them in the book. But when you see most of us have experience with social justice activism on things like social media and in American popular culture, and it amounts to obsessing over minutia, as you say, and generally pop culture. Things like representation of individuals in film and television and comic books and the faces that grace our currency and food and cultural appropriation and food trucks and the kind of stuff that they imbue with this grand existential significance, but it really amounts to very small things. And for the most part, these are social justice advocates talking about and to social justice advocates, because as this universe of opinion has grown smaller and their influence has waned, they've begun only to target each other as a means of demonstrating their own power, because nobody else is listening. It's an interesting phenomenon, but it doesn't render this movement any less dangerous or influential.
What's the biggest danger, do you see? Break it. That's the core of the book. What's the biggest danger of this?
Yeah, well, I when I talk to a social justice advocate about what they aspire to propose, I mean, it strikes me as being wholly antithetical to the American ideal and the American experiment. Social justice advocates, when they're talking to one another in a safe, you know, set of company, they say that meritocracy is a myth, that society has placed insurmountable obstacles before their success, that separatism, racial demographic separatism, is necessary and good explicitly to prevent social discomfort, that colorblindness is naive at best and dangerous at worst. And when I tell them that white supremacists believe precisely the same thing, they kind of cock their head. Shocked at the notion that they are sharing precisely the same antisocial objectives that white nationalists share. And that sort of, it became impossible for me to ignore those distinctions that were so blurred. They are obstacles to the necessary work of combating real discrimination and real institutional prejudice, which really does exist. But they're not. They've taken their eye off that ball. They've decided that the cure for bigotry is more bigotry, and that's discrimination. It's not a new idea. It's an old idea. It has failed every time, and this is an effort to revive those arguments against this a philosophy that has objectively failed.
We haven't talked about it on my show too much. I've heard the term a lot, and Ocasio-Cortez and others are looking for this, and I think you'll start to hear it more popularized, but you do talk about it. Intersectionality. Am I right that the sense of that is that all these issues, all these coalitions are to come together, even if you don't see any real connection between them, there's a broader connection? What is intersectionality?
Well, it's a formerly obscure academic theory, which is a perfectly valid way to understand prejudice, how prejudice works. It sort of prescribes the idea that prejudice is doled out in degrees and that individuals may suffer more prejudice based on the amount of prejudicial or traditionally discriminated against traits that they have versus traits that are not traditionally discriminated against. So, for example, a black woman experiences more prejudice than an African-American man because being a man makes it easier for you to navigate society than being a woman, even if you're both African-American. That's the idea, essentially. In practice, as a governing philosophy, it has some value for people who are trying to form ideological coalitions because it unites otherwise disparate grievances into one political coalition. But it has a really serious downside effect, which is evident in how the Women's March organized around this particular theory of political organization, because it creates this impression in your mind that you inhabit this unnavigable labyrinth of prejudices, that your allies are not really your allies because they all have differing traits and differing elements of this discriminating profile different from you. And so your adversaries become a lot more numerous, and it forces these organizations like the Women's March to embrace people who are otherwise easily dismissed and are detrimental to the cause, like Assata Shakur, who is a convicted cop killer living abroad as a fugitive from justice in Cuba, or the anti-Semitic minister Louis Farrakhan. These are people without a lot of constituents, but they are nonetheless embraced by this organization because to abandon them would be to legitimize the prejudices that they say they combat against. And so it has rendered the sister soldier moment obsolete. You can no longer make prudent dissociation from individuals who are harmful to the cause.
Well, that's the good news, that this stuff has to blow itself up. Unjust social justice and the making of America. Noah, thank you. Thanks for visiting us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.